Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. And God's precious word we find here in Colossians chapter 3. Four very good verses. Now, all of the Bible is good. All of the Bible is great. I like every bit of it. Been spending a lot of time reading God's word and asking God to help me so I can help you. But we have four verses here that would change our lives if we'll let it sink into our hearts and to our minds and be obedient to the Lord. My friend, the Bible says here in Colossians chapter 3, let's look at the first four verses together. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I want to try to preach here for just a few minutes on taking the high road. It's something that we all should desire in our lives, is to take the high road in our Christian lives. And we get this from verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, my friend, we can get caught up in the earth and everything that's involved in the earth, and we can be a complete success in the world's eyes, but we'll be a complete failure in God's eyes. A man, a woman can have plenty of money, can have a great career, can have a good life, but you can be a failure by succeeding in the world. The Bible says that we should set our affections, what really involves our heart, what our heart loves. The Bible says where your heart is, there should your treasures be also. And we should give God our hearts and set our affections on things above. Every one of us in our Christian life should take the high road. And now, my friend, this is a message I'm going to preach to you tonight. And I realize not everybody is going to take the high road in their Christian life. In fact, I realize the message I'm going to preach tonight, a crowd like this, there's only going to be just a handful of people, just a few people tonight that says, Pastor, I'll be willing to take the high road in my Christian life. Not everybody's going to do this. I'll be foolish to think that we'll have a church of 60 to 80 people that's going to take the high road. I wish we would. I wish not every one of our teenagers and upcoming teenagers would take the high road, but I'd be a foolish man to say every one of them will. But I hope just one or two tonight will change their mind and say, I'm not going to set my affection, I'm not going to give my love to the things of the world, but I'm going to give my love to Jesus Christ who saved me and changed my life for His glory. The Bible says here in verse 2, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. What is taking a high road? Taking a high road is choosing between what is good and best. Now, anybody can choose between what's bad and what's good. It don't take a Christian to choose between what's bad and what's good. It doesn't take a person to know anything about the Bible to choose what's good and what's bad. Everybody probably chooses a good thing to do. But us as Christians should choose the very best thing to do for our Christian lives. We're not choosing between the bad and the good. We're choosing between the good and the best. Now, there's good things all of us can do. I'm not knocking anything. I love doing a lot of good things. But what's the very best thing for our Christian life? I was talking to a fellow earlier. He said, I'm not going to be here Saturday. I said, why not? He said, me and my wife, we need to spend some time together. I believe he chose the best thing. I believe the best thing is doing what God has put in our hearts to do. My friend, I realize we have to keep our marriages together. And if we have a building project like we're doing now, and I give myself to it, I'm here. I do all I can to try to get things done, and so do you. But we have to start choosing the best things in our lives. Every one of us needs to step apart for a little while and take a break, not from God, but from the hustle and bustle of the world and the little rat race we're in, and step back and get our minds clear about what God would have for us to do. Now, the Friday night, me and my wife, we enjoyed ourselves. The senior saints had a meeting out here this past Friday night. And I told my wife, I said, honey, I'm going to take you on a date. I said, we don't have to worry about a long crowd. We don't have to worry about a long line. I said, and everything's free. Boy, she loved that. Brought her here to this church. I had a wonderful time. Had a great, great meeting. Had a wonderful time of fellowship. We just sat there and talked about different things of the world. Brother Jim got up and gave a Bible devotion. But we had a wonderful time, a great time. I told them, I said, if every senior saint meeting was like this, where you get together in fellowship and love each other and encourage each other and hear something about God's Word, it's a wonderful thing. And was able to go home and rejoice and be happy. Able to go home and share the wonderful experience with others that we've been talking to. But my friend, taking the high road in our Christian lives. Anybody can be an average Christian. Any one of us tonight can be saved by God's grace and decide to be average. But I've never been much before being average. I've always wanted to be different. I've always wanted to be someone different. My friend, in order to make a difference in the world, you have to be different from the world. And every one of us should have a desire to make a difference, to make a personal impression with our lives in this world. You know, when we're dead and gone, all that's going to last is our testimony. My daddy's been dead now. My father's been dead now for almost 9 years. His trailer's gone. His clothes is gone. His automobiles is gone. Everything that we had of our daddy's when he passed away, today is gone. There's nothing left. When I die and decease and go to heaven, everything I've left here in this world in just a few years will be gone. And so will your stuff. And so will your stuff. It don't take long. I remember Miss Dodd. I remember Miss Thelma when she was in a rest home and she lived her whole life and worked in a tobacco factory and packaging cigarettes. And I remember Preacher Larry telling me about how she worked hard and worked 50 and 60 hours a week to try to provide and make good money for the family, and how his Daddy Lightning used to work in the farms and take care of the farms and plow the fields and sell the corn and get all kind of money. And my friend, we went to visit Miss Thelma and she was in a hospital and her belongings just fit in a little box. Worked a whole life just for a little box to show when she passed away. My friend, we should be taking a high road in our Christian life. And the high road is choosing between what's good and what's best. I'm going to tell you what taking a high road is. And if you take the high road, it settles everything in life. We tell our young children what to wear. We tell them you can't wear this and you can't wear that. If they decide to take the high road, that settles everything. They don't have to worry about, can I wear this or can I wear that? Because if they're going to take the high road, they're choosing what's best for their Christian life, and they're choosing what pleases the Lord, and we don't have to worry about what they wear because they're taking the high road. Brother Jeff talked Sunday school this morning about modesty and identity. And as a pastor, if you'll choose to take the high road, I won't have to worry about that in your life. I wouldn't have to worry about women coming to our church wearing breeches. Now, if you're a visitor, that's fine. We'll allow visitors to come in wearing your pants because they don't know any better. But if you're a member of Open Door Baptist Church, you've been around long enough to know that our standards and convictions run deep in God's Word, and we don't believe it's right for a woman to wear breeches in God's house. Now, what you do in your house is between you, your husband, and God. I'm not the ruler or dictator of your house. You do what you want there, because we do what we want in our house. But my wife doesn't wear pants. She's got a pair of jogging pants that she wears, but that's what she has to work around in the house in. My friend, if you'll choose the high road, you don't have to choose between what's good and what's bad. You'll be choosing the best. If you choose the high road, you know it's right to go soul winning in. And you don't have to worry about who else is going to show up if it's raining, if it's storming outside. If you choose the high road and you say, hey, I'm going to go soul winning because it's the best thing to do. If you choose the high road, you don't have to worry about, are you going to sit down and read your Bible or watch TV? You're going to sit down and read your Bible because it's the best thing to do. I wonder how many of us would grab our Bibles and read it before we grab the remote control. See what's on the old boob tube, the one-eyed devil, the trap of Satan. I wonder how much time we spend in God's Word versus the time we spend watching television. My friend, we ought to take God's Word and learn it and live it and love it. And we're taking a high road in our Christian lives, and we're choosing what's best. And I tell you what choosing, taking a high road is the unending pursuit of Christ. Look in verse 1, if you will. The Bible says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Taking the high road is the unending pursuit of Christ. What do I mean by that? I mean taking the high road is us going after Christ every day we live. The Apostle Paul, probably one of the greatest Christians in the New Testament you can read of. He probably wrote, we know he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. If you believe the Apostle Paul wrote Hebrews, then he's wrote 14 books of the New Testament. I personally don't hold that conviction. I believe somebody else wrote the book of Hebrews, not Paul. But Paul probably was one of the greatest New Testament Christians we have. Paul, you know what Paul said? Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. A man that spent time with the Lord Jesus Christ, a man that preached the gospel in regions beyond, a man that was filled with the Spirit of God, a man that was chosen by Jesus Christ to fill the 12th place of the apostles, he said that I may know him. I don't know about you, but I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know more about Jesus. Been alive in his Christian life for 90 years. And we can sit back and tell you all kinds of things God's done for us. I can tell you that doors that God's opened that we had no idea how he done it. We can tell you the doors that God shut, and we can tell you now the reason God shut them doors. But I still want to know more about Jesus. I still want to know more about Jesus and his power. And the power to live the victorious Christian life. You know how we live a victorious Christian life? You say it's abiding in Christ. You say it's reading God's Word, it's prayer. You know how to have victory in this world? Bible says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith. You know how you're going to overcome the world and have victory? By having more faith in God. By having more faith in God. I've looked around for the past 3 years and I've seen what God's done here at Open Door. And do you know God is still doing something here? You know, God is blessing in a tremendous way. I'm talking about a place that the unemployment rate is at an all-time high, 19.2% unemployment rate. 19.2% unemployment rate. People's losing their jobs left and right. Another company's closing down. And I believe, 42 people is going to be unemployed. Jobs closing. No jobs is opening. No places of employment. No places of hiring. But yet we're building. We're doing something for Jesus. We're spending $3.65 a gallon going and picking up boys and girls and adults and bringing them to the church house. How many did we have on the bus this morning, Brother Jim? Did you count them? I know we had one more available seat on the church bus this morning. Just one more. You say, how much did that cost? Oh, probably about $12, $13, $14 to go pick them up. I believe it's worth it, don't you? I believe $3.65 is worth a soul coming to church, hearing the gospel, getting saved, and having their whole life changed. We was here Tuesday night, and I hit the butt on the answering machine. I believe Miss Terry Lynn was here. She heard it. Saturday. I hit the butt on the answering machine. A woman said, Pastor Scott, this is so-and-so. You've come through our neighborhood giving out these church notices. She said, I saw you have church services on Wednesday night. I'm wondering if I can come to be part of that. Hallelujah. I'm glad people's calling. Wanting to come. Did those door hanger bags cost money? Yes, it did. It cost some of the church's money and also some of me and my wife's money. We put our money right along with yours. Did it cost some time? It cost plenty of time. Did it cost a little bit of effort, a little bit of work? It cost a whole lot of work, but I believe it's worth it. I believe it's worth it because we're not choosing between what's the bad and the good. We're choosing between the good and the best, and we're trying to choose the best, and the best is the unending pursuit of Christ. We want to know more about God and His power and His fellowship. We want to know more about God and how He can save souls and transform lives and make new creatures out of everybody that's willing to come to Him. The Bible says here in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, speaks about those who are saved, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Number 2 is set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The unending pursuit of Christ is taking the high road. And not only that, but getting all the Lord has for us. I don't know about you, my friend, but if you take the high road, you'll get all that God has for you. John R. Rice has wrote a book, Asking and Receiving. He says, prayer, asking and receiving. John R. Rice gave an illustration. I do not believe it's true. but it's good. He said, when we die and go to heaven, God's going to have a key that takes us to a room that has our name above the door. And He's going to lock the door, swing it wide open, allow you to walk in and see a room filled with things that you needed in your life. And He said, all these things were things that was available to you that you never believed God for. You might have prayed for them, but you never believed God for them. I don't know about you, but I want to have all that God has for me in my Christian life. I heard a story, a young story about a boy named Johnny. It's not this Johnny here, it's another Johnny. His mama took him to the grocery store. She said, Johnny, it might be this Johnny. She said, Johnny, if you'll be good while I'm purchasing groceries, I'll get you some candy. The manager of the store heard the mommy tell the boy that, so he stood back and watched little Johnny being just as good as he could as mama bought the groceries. At the end of her buying the groceries, she said, Johnny, get you some candy. Johnny went to the little baskets of candy, you know, the baskets they used to have filled with candy, and the manager of the store came up and said, Johnny, I've watched you been so good for your mama. He says, get a handful of candy. It's on the house. I'll take care of it. Johnny put his hands in his pockets. The manager said, son, I'm telling you to reach your hand in there and grab a handful of candy. It's yours. You can have it. Johnny, with his hands in his pocket, just looked down like he was real embarrassed, real scared. The manager one more time said, son, I'm telling you, it's free. Get a handful of candy. It's yours. You deserve it. You can have it. The boy with his hands in his pocket looked down, never made a sound. Pretty soon, the manager of the store got so ready to get the boy gone that he reached his hand in the bucket and grabbed a handful of candy and shoved it in Johnny's overhaul pocket. On the way out, the mama looked at Johnny and said, son, why didn't you grab a handful of candy like the store manager told you? With a smile on his face, he looked up at Johnny and said, did you see his hands? How big they were? Now, my friend, what I'm telling us, we can work and labor for ourselves and get what our flesh can accomplish, or we can sit back and take the high road and get all that God has for us. And if God gives it to you, it'll be more than you can ever get on your own. Look at your life so far. I don't know how long you've been saved. But look at what God's done for you since you've been saved. Could you accomplish, could you achieve any of that with your own selves? Could you receive the joy that God gives you without the Lord Jesus Christ? Could you receive the rest that only God can give you by working and slaving in a job 40 hours a week? Could you get the satisfaction that only God can provide for anything else? I'm telling us, my friend, if we'll take the high road, it's the unending pursuit of Christ, and it's getting all that God has for us. And I don't know about you, but I want all that God has for Open Door. You know what the word zenith means? It means the pinnacle. It means the top. It means the very highest you can go. I don't believe we've reached the zenith yet. I don't believe we've experienced God's true blessings yet. I don't believe we've experienced all that God has for us yet. Do you? I believe the greatest years are yet to come. I'm looking at what God's doing here. My friend, people's making professions of the faith. People's getting baptized. I'm loving it. You say, has all of them come back? No. But some of them has. Some of them has. Some of them is. Some of them's heard. Some of them's received. Some of them knows the truth of God's Word. And it's simply because you've chosen to go out and take the high road and do what's best and give the gospel out to a lost and dying world. You know what taking the high road is? It's living your life for Christ. Look here in verse 3, the Bible says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Taking the high road. Would you be willing to take the high road and say, Pastor, for the rest of our lives, we're going to choose for the very best what is the very best? We're going to go after Christ. We're going to know Christ and His power and His fellowship. We're going to get all that God has for us, no matter what it costs. We're going after Christ, and we're going to receive from God's hands all that He has for us. I think about David. David wanted a piece of ground. And he told his friend, he said, I want this piece of ground to bury my loved ones. And the man said, David, you can have it. David said, no, I'll pay you this for it. I give you the full price. David was willing to pay the full price for what he wanted. My friend, I want a great church, don't you? I'm not saying a big church. God could take care of that. I want a great church. I want a church where we can come to and we just feel the presence of God. I want a church where we can come to where we know our brothers and sisters of Christ really cares for us and really loves us and they've been praying for us and we can go to them with any care, any burdens, any problems, and we know we have a friend there. I want to be able to come to a church where it's been set apart and sanctified for God and you don't have to worry about worldly things coming into the church house. I want a great church, don't you? But are you willing to pay the price? Are you willing to pray like we should? Are you willing to go like we should? I've been praying. The Bible says, pray the Lord of harvest that He'll send forth laborers into His harvest. I've been praying that God would help us here. Sunday school teachers. More children church workers. Some more bus drivers. More bus captains. We need some more laborers. We need some more ladies in our church. We need some more men in our church. We need some people who can help in the choir, help sing, and maybe play some musical instruments to help out. We need all kinds of things in our church. And we don't go out and recruit people to come to work. We pray to God, and God sends those who He wants that open door to help and to be a blessing to Him. But we have to go out there and get them. We have to go out there and invite them to church. We might have to go out there and get them saved. I've realized this for the past 3 years. God's not really sent anybody to our church from another church. There's been a few that's left a church that's went astray and come here. They're with us, and I'm glad for that. But everyone that's really working and laboring in our church has gotten saved and been a member here. Now, we got some, Brother Jim and Sister Joanne. They hear they're from another church. Johnny's from another church. Sister Karen, Brother Ron's from another church. But I believe the rest of us, if I'm not mistaken, has probably Brother Steve and Sister Brennan's from another church. But God's not sending a lot of people from other churches here to help open door out. But there's a world of lost people that could help open door if we'll just get them saved and get them here. Michael's not the perfect man. I'd be the first to say that. He probably would too. But he's been a big help. He's been a great help. He came over to the house the other day. Never asked him to do this. Never wanted one thing from him. He came over to the house the other day and said, Pastor, I noticed your grass is getting high. I said, yeah, Michael, we're a little bit embarrassed. We ain't had time to cut it. He said, well, I'm going to come cut it for you. I chuckled and said, you don't have to do that. He said, I'll come cut it. Don't worry about it. He showed up the other day to cut the grass. Never asked him to. But I appreciate his faithfulness. Michael's having some tough times. I want Michael to choose the high road. Choose the best for his life. But you know what Michael needs? Michael needs some people to look at and get an example from on how to live the Christian life. And if all we do is sit back and bicker, complain, and fight, and argue, and be lazy, he's not getting a good example. He needs someone that's taking the high road so he can follow. He needs someone he can look at and say, hey, I want to be like that person. I remember when I first got to church here, first got saved, got saved on Tuesday night, come to church on Wednesday night. We marched in. I sat on the second row right here. I remember I come in and my wife sat beside us and we had the car seat with Brandon and we had Justin and Tiffany was here. I don't know if Bianca was here that Wednesday night. I remember Sunshine was sitting right behind us and Sister Judy was sitting right beside her. I remember they come over here and took a picture. I had a shirt, one size too small. Had a pair of pants, four sizes too small. Had a pair of shoes, two sizes too big. But we was here. And I looked around. I didn't know anybody's name. On Wednesday night, there were about 30 people. I looked around. I said, I wish I could be like him. Boy, he looks good in a suit. I wish I could be like him. Boy, he knows how to tie that tie just right. I wish I could be like that person. I said, honey, look at his shoes. His shoes is shiny. His suit is nice and crisp. He's got a clean white shirt on. His tie is tied just right. Well, I had a tie, couldn't even tie it. Just wrapped it around a few times and tried to tuck it in and hide it the best I could. My friend, you know what we need? We need some of us to take the high road so we can grab others. by their hand and pull them along with us so they can get on the high road with us. So we can reach out to these young boys and girls and say, hey, you don't have to live the average Christian life. You can choose to take the high road, and I'm going to show you what to do. And you can just pull them and drag them. They might fight. They might resist. They might not want to. But you say, no, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to keep living a Christian life. And I'm going to show you that taking the high road is choosing what's best. And choosing what's best is the unending pursuit of Christ. We're following after the Lord for my sake. For this church's sake, you know, I can leave this church and God will continue to have it carried on. As soon as I'm gone, God can bring another man. God can bring another pastor. You know the reason I'm going to choose to take the high road to choose what's best in my Christian life is for the next generation that's growing up so they can see what a real Christian should be like. And not some of this fairy tale, phony tale, hypocritical stuff that we see all around us where, hey, you live for God on Sunday and you curse like the devil on Monday. You tell God, you tell others how much you love God, and then, my friend, when your boss man don't do something you want him to, you go behind him and curse him and snicker at him and run him down in the dirt. Hey, my friend, we need some Holy Ghost, conviction-filled Christians who decide to take the high road and choose what's best in their Christian life and choosing all that God has for us. I want what God has for us. You see little baby? See little babies around here? Hope we have 100 more. Hope we have 100 more. A lot of babies was in the nursery this morning. Classroom over here was filled up to capacity this morning. There was no more room in this classroom this morning. Hey, the choir's filling up. Hey, there's more children in Sister Terry Lynn's class than has ever been before. You get some, Sister Tracy, you're getting some new people in your class. Hey, Brother Jeff is getting some new adults in his class. Connie and Michael and their brother Jack was here this morning. I'm telling you, God's doing something, but I want all that God has for Open Door. And it's going to cost us something. Taking the high road is living your life for Christ. When you take the high road, you live for eternity. I want to show you this verse, if you will, 2 Peter. Turn to 2 Peter, chapter 1. We went through some of these Bible verses Wednesday night. If you remember the message from Wednesday night, it makes a whole lot of sense tonight. The Bible says this about these things in verse 5, 6, and 7. And it says in verse 8, if these things be in you and abound, ye, they make you that ye shall either be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here in verse 10, wherefore the rather brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. But look at verse 11. The Bible says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know what I wish for our church? That we have an abundant entrance into heaven. Here the Bible says, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Taking the high road is giving your life to Christ and letting God use your life like He wishes to use it. Can you imagine, my friend, just for a few minutes, when you get to heaven, all those you've won to Christ will be waiting at the door to greet you. Can you imagine that? Imagine just for a few minutes, every time you gave a dollar, every time you gave $5, $10, $15, $20, $50, $100 in offering plate to get the gospel out. Can you imagine every time we purchase a gospel tract and give it to somebody that sowed a seed, that got them saved, and you went to heaven, that young child, that young man, that mom or daddy will come up to you and say, thank you. Every time you get someone saved and lead them to Christ, they're going to meet you in heaven and say, thank you. You know what I want us to have? An abundant entrance. I want us to have all that God wants for us. I want us to give our lives to Christ in such a way that people say, that's Open Door. They're doing something great there for God. Any other churches you know around here doing something great for God? I'd travel around. I'd look. I look at churches in Marion County. There's 119 churches in Marion County. Just in Marion County, 119 churches. And I can't tell you of any of them that's doing something significant for God. I can't tell you any of them that's had people saved the past 2 weeks. I can't tell you any of them who's willing to go out and run a bus route and wants to pick up snotty-nosed boys and girls or bring them to God's house. There's a few doing it. But nobody's starting something. Nobody's trying to get something started. I'm all for getting something started for God's glory. Not mine or yours, but for God's. And I'm telling you something, folks. God's doing something here, and I want you to get involved. But in what God's doing, we have to take the high road in doing it. We can get all the musical singers, we can get all the musical players, we get some kind of Christian rock performers in here, and we can get a big crowd. We can have some high-named preacher come in here and get a big crowd. Well, we can have a friend day and say we're going to take you to Jumpin' Jays and get a big crowd. But my friend, if you save them on hot dogs and hamburgers, you're going to have to keep them on hot dogs and hamburgers. If you save them on some big day, you got to have another big day and another big day and another big day just to keep them involved. But if you get them saved on God's Word and let them chew on the fat a little bit and get them saved under Holy Ghost conviction, hey, just by breathing the name of Jesus, we'll keep them involved. I want to take the high road, don't you? I want all that God has for us. I want my life to be hid with Christ. Notice what the Bible says, if you will. We just read verse 3. I want you to go back, if you would, to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Notice what the Bible says, if you will. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. The Bible says, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4 says, when Christ, how about his next four words, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him and glory. Let me ask you this. Is God your life? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your life? It says here in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, if you're going to take the high road, it's going to settle everything else in life for you. If you decide to take the high road, then you'll be the husband you should be to your wife. It settles it. If you'll take the high road and choose what's best, every young boy and girl will be obedient to their parents, not because their parents is always right, but because they chose to take the high road and they're serving and living for God. But the Bible says this, that God is our life. I like that. Is He your life? Is He your life? Or do you just use God to get through life? It's something to think about, ain't it? Do you wake up thinking about the Lord, what you could do for God, or is just some kind of ritual, just some kind of routine you go through where you wake up on Sunday morning and you gripe and complain and get your church clothes on? I was working at Boomenthal Mills one day, and there's a preacher there, won't call you his name. You probably know him. You know what he said? He said, working and pastoring is like a coat. He said, when you go to church, you put your preaching coat on. He said, when you get out of church, you take your preaching coat off and you leave it on a chair until next Sunday. I said, man, get out of my face. That's wrong. That's what a lot of us do. We put our Christian coats on for Sunday. And as soon as this day is over, we'll take it off and hang it up and leave it there till next Sunday. Is God your life? Do you live your life in such a way where you're pleasing God all the time? You know what Jesus Christ said? He said, I always do those things that pleases the Lord. I wish I could say that. I believe it's John chapter 8, verse 29. I do always those things that pleases the Lord. My friend, I realize not every one of us is going to get this tonight. Not every one of us is going to choose to live the Christian life. We'd rather do everything else in the world than live for God 24-7. We'd rather do everything else in the world than give God more than just one day a week. We'd rather do everything else in the world than give God all of our time. If we'd just get a few people in our church to say, I'm going to take the high road, you know what that'd do? That'd encourage somebody else to come along with you. Paul, the Apostle Paul, says to Timothy, He said, I've taught you many things, and you shall be able to teach others also. We should be teaching others to take the high road. I hope you will. What is the high road, Pastor? High road is choosing what's best. What's best? What God wants for our lives. It's not what I want. It's really not what you want. It's what God wants. And that's what I want. Is what God wants. We need to take the high road. I wish I had more time. There's so much things I wish I could say to you. But my friend, you know your heart right now if you're taking the high road or not. It's not going to be easy. It'll be difficult. Because not everybody will go along with you. Not everybody's going to agree. But the time and age we're living in, it's something needful to choose what's best. We can give in and do like every other church and be average. Or we can say, hey, we're going to take the high road and follow God and do what's best. We'll be different. We'll be a little bit of outcast. We'll be talked about. We're talked about now. We're talked about now. Passing these gospel tracts out. We're talked about now. Hey, preacher called a while back and talked to me. Hey, he said, you're in my area. Don't pass out no more gospel tracts in this particular area. He said, it's my area. I said, there's lost people there. We're going to pass out tracts. We're being talked about. We're being discussed in other churches probably tonight. They're talking about Open Door. That's that church that believes you got to do this and you got to do that. That's that church that's them old fogies that believes, hey, there's only one way to heaven. Taking a high road will cost you. But I believe it'll be worth it. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for that goodness, thy faithfulness. I pray, God, for the invitation tonight that you'll help us. God, help our young people to take the high road in their lives. They won't just choose between what's bad and what's good, but they choose what's best. Lord, I pray, God, tonight for adults, mamas and daddies, grandmamas and grandpapas. God, you help them to choose what's best. The unending pursuit of Christ, following after Jesus. Receiving all from thy hands that you have for us. Giving our life to Christ and living for the Lord. Help us tonight, Father, I pray, God, you would. During this invitation time, may we be honest with thee and honest with ourselves. In thy precious name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. During the invitation, with the heads bowed, eyes still closed. Just for a few minutes. The altar's open. The invitation begins. Would you be willing to take the high road and say, Pastor, I'm going to do what's best. I'm going to do what's best for me and my Christian life. I'm going to pursue after Christ. I'm going to live my life to the fullest for the Lord. I'm not going to be satisfied with just being average. That's good for some. That's not good for me. I want to be the greatest I can be for the Lord. I want to take the high road and choose what's best. Because if you'll take the high road, it settles everything else. Pastor, should I tithe? If you take the high road, it settles it for you. Pastor, should I dress in a certain way? If you'll take the high road, it settles it for you. Pastor, should I be a soul winner? If you'll take the high road, it settles it for you. Pastor, should I do this or should I do that? If you'll just get on the high road, it settles everything else in life. Pastor, who should I date? If you take the high road, God tell you. Who should I marry? If you'll take the high road, you'll marry the one God wants you to have. And that will settle it. Where should I go? What should I do? Where should I work? Where should I spend my time? If you'll just take the high road and do what's best, it settles everything else in life.